Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very what? That's just the word I was thinking of too. He is very merciful. Because Krishna consciousness is meant for the most exalted and purified souls. And Mahaprabhu is giving Krishna consciousness to those regardless of if the person is qualified. So he is very merciful, and that makes me very fortunate. Okay. Fortunate because one of the main principles of Krishna consciousness, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, is to hear about Krishna, to speak about Krishna, and then if we can hear about Krishna and speak about Krishna, then we can remember Krishna. Because our mind is jumping all day long from one thing to the next. Jumping, jumping, jumping from one thought to the next. And these thoughts and our mind, our consciousness, are just stuck in the material realm. And the result of our consciousness being stuck in the material realm, adhishtayam manasthayam visha upasevate, is that we take repeated birth in the material realm, in the material world, birth after birth after birth. I think you better give her cheddar, otherwise, yes, you cannot take her. Okay. Oh. So the children are lucky because they have attachment to their parents, and their parents are devotees, and the devotees are fortunate because they have found the way to break out of this cycle of repeated birth and death by somehow or another placing the mind on Krishna, who is beyond the material world. And not only beyond the material world, Krishna is situated in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And that is where our true life is. Now, we don't know that by our own personal experience at this point. But this is where our life is. And this is where the sweetness that we're all hankering for, anandam bhudi vardhanam pratipatam purna amrita swadhanam, this is where it is. Our real life is there. It is full of sweetness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute the highest, most wonderful thing to everyone, regardless of the qualification, their qualification. But we have to do our part. When Mahaprabhu was in this world, when he was traveling in South India, his internal shakti, his potency, was independently touching everyone. His absorption in love for Krishna overwhelmed him. He was fully absorbed in love for Krishna, and his internal energy was touching everyone independently, giving everyone mercy. But at this time, when Mahaprabhu was not doing that on that level, we have to do our sadhana. And what is the essence of our sadhana? It's chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, hearing about Krishna. And this type of sadhana is so simple. And if somehow or another we can get a taste, if our taste can change from the tastes that are available in the material world, which our minds are jumping to again and again and again, constantly, consistently and constantly, if we can just change our taste so that our mind gradually begins to hanker for that taste instead of that taste. And by hearing about Krishna and by chanting Krishna's names, this is what we want to happen. The taste for being with Krishna, because abhinatvam namanamano, Krishna and Krishna's names are the same, Krishna and Krishna katha are the same. If we can develop that taste through associating with Krishna through his names and Krishna katha, if we can develop the taste for being with Krishna instead of trying to keep ourselves seeking pleasure in the material realm, if we can develop that taste, we are very fortunate. And that is why we're here. We call this a retreat, because literally we've retreated from the material world, having been badly thrashed and beaten 1,000 times with 1,000 whips. Not you. You're too young in this life. You should have hope in this life to do something wonderful. But as we get older, we understand. But while we're young, we should have that hope and we should do something wonderful. But the real wonderful thing is to say, I've had enough. No more material world for me. I want to be with Krishna. That is the wonderful thing. So the medicine for this, bhava ushud, is very pleasing to the mind and to the heart. It is just talking about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names in the association of the devotees. And if we are fortunate, then by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the association of devotees, our taste can change. Now, so this retreat, we can look at it as, you know, a vacation and a retreat from Melbourne and our daily routine, mundane life and work. But also, it is such an opportunity. It is such an opportunity. If our consciousness can open, if our hearts can open, and some Krishna katha and some desire to be, some taste to be with Krishna can enter our hearts, then it is a successful retreat for us. If the quality of our desiring can change, can shift, then our retreat has been perfectly successful. So how to do that? Of course, we can't make it happen. I'm going to shift my heart and from now on, and it doesn't happen like that. But we can sincerely try our best to be as deep as we can, as thoughtful as we can, as prayerful as we can, and try to hear the Shastra. Now, I'm going to be speaking about something that was very inspiring for me, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Dakshini Mataji will be speaking about something that she has found good inspiration from. Would you like to say what you'll be speaking about? Maybe we can let the microphone move. Wow.
In February this year, I'm sure you all heard, there was a very severe earthquake in Christchurch. And I was in contact with a couple of devotees who had been involved in being there at the time. And one of them told me that in the morning on the day of the earthquake, the class that they were giving in the temple was a very profound verse in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they gave me the verse number and chapters. So I quickly looked up my Bhagavatam, sixth canto, and I found that particular verse and its purport. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that sometimes the deity gives some instruction in a dream, or gives some instruction in the mind of the worshipper. For example, saying that this temple is getting very run down and I want a new temple. So when I read this, I put the Bhagavatam aside and was sitting beside my bed. And a short while later, maybe a few weeks later, I picked it up again in a spare moment and I opened it. And I came across four verses in the sixth canto, which were the verses given, spoken by one very, very frightening person. One very angry, physical, violent person spoke these four very beautiful prayers. And the first thing that struck me was, and actually the same thing struck Maharaj Parikit when he was hearing this from Sukadev Goswami, I thought, how can such a negative, unpleasant person speaks so beautifully? And also, Maharaj Parikit also asked the same question and received an answer for this. So then I found myself, sometimes I'm not a good reader of the Bhagavatam, I must admit, and oftentimes I read it backwards. Out of curiosity, I turn back a page. Why did they say that? And I find myself reading back to the start of the story and then forward again. So I found that as I went backwards, I went one chapter back and two chapters back and five chapters back and six chapters back, and I hadn't come to the beginning of the story. So this story is the story of King Indra when he fights with Vritrasura. And actually in the sixth canto is known as the subject matter is Poshana. Poshana means how the Lord gives special mercy to misbehaved devotees. Now, when I heard that, this is relevant. Let me read this a little further. So, as I was reading through backwards and forwards, I began to think that this was something I would like to share with you at this retreat. And the word that I have not yet been able to find the right word that struck me, I think the closest is ironic, but it was much more powerful than that. It's like when something terrible happens and it turns out to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. That kind of contradiction of these two different things at the same time is very inherent in this particular lila or pastime. So what I've done is I spent some time reading and preparing and taking also quotes from Srila Prabhupada on the subject matter of this particular lila. And tomorrow and the next morning and the morning after, I would like to read the Bhagavatam through those chapters, or present those chapters dedicated to this particular pastime of how the Lord gives special mercy to his misbehaved devotees. And I would also, in the afternoons, like to share some illumination into this pastime, because it's very profound, actually. And this runs very much parallel to what Prabhuji is saying. Although we never compared our notes or planned the classes together, the subject matter of this is also related to changing taste and coming to the point where one feels like I've had enough. So that was one important point. And one other point that you made, that my husband made, that I would also like to speak about is, how can you change your desires? If you desire materially, how do you change? This is, I think, a very relevant question for us all also. So there may be some illumination that we can receive from the words of Srila Prabhupada and from hearing more about these personalities and this extraordinary pastime from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I hope I will see everybody again, time and time again for the next few days. Thank you.
What time do you begin tomorrow?
I think it's 7:30 tomorrow morning is a class. So there's 3 classes in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. I think up on the schedule, probably later on the window. So please come.
3 in the morning?
Saturday,
oh, yes, yes.
Monday.
Oh, I see. I thought there were going to be 3 classes tomorrow morning. And I.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, I was. Yes. And I've chosen something to speak on about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Over the past few years, I've been starting to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the book itself has a special sweetness to it. Of course, Bhagavad Gita is a river of nectar flowing from the mouth of Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Mamalam. It is the perfect guide for us to reach the absolute truth. But there's a special sweetness in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I've been trying to capture that sweetness, a little bit of it. And I've been reading it backwards almost also. And I'm up to the point where Mahaprabhu has just taken sannyas. Well, just before he takes sannyas. Where is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Huh? Madhyalila, what part of Madhyalila? In the very early part, like the first chapter perhaps. The first chapter of Madhyalila, Mahaprabhu takes sannyas. And I would like to begin the journey of that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes at that point. So we'll start a little bit before that. But he takes sannyas, and there's a specific reason why he wants to take sannyas. There's an external reason, there's an internal reason. But specifically, he's driven. He's driven by a desire. Because everyone is driven by their desires. But his desire is completely intense and completely focused on Krishna. After Mahaprabhu was initiated by whom? Swash? Not quite Madhavendra Puri, but his disciple's name was Shripad Ishwara Puri. From that time on, he had one focus in his life only. Before that, he was perhaps the greatest scholar in the greatest scholarly city in India, in the world. He was Nimai Pandit, who defeated everyone, even though he was just a young boy, because he's the Supreme Lord, he knows everything. But then, after taking initiation from Sri Padishwara Puri, he gave everything up. And he was focused on one thing only. When he would see anyone, everyone, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna Chandra? Can you show me? Can you instruct me? Can you guide me? so that I can have Krishna, so I can see the lotus feet of Krishna, so I can attain the lotus feet of Krishna. His taste was overpoweringly strong. His desire was unlimited. And we'll begin speaking on this point tomorrow, is because he's teaching us. He's teaching us the path to Krishna. The teacher sometimes takes the hand of the boy in the school and draws on the board. What letter is this? Yes. Wow, very good. What letter is this? Whoa! You know why devotees don't eat alphabet soup? Do you know why? You know what alphabet soup is? Do they have that? Yeah. Devotees don't eat that. Because devotees don't eat bees. And they don't eat eyes. Sorry. I have to do something for the youth. There's other things they don't eat too. Huh?
You.
They don't eat you. I hadn't thought of that one before. Anyway, we'll talk about... Huh? Bees they don't eat for sure. But Mahaprabhu, he was like the teacher who draws the A on the board to teach the young boy this is how you do it. But it's not that the teacher is learning A's and B's and C's, but his actions are instructions for us, the students. And this is how I've learned to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is Mahaprabhu teaching us by his actions? And what I see that we should be, what I see, my hope in this retreat, when we hear this class, Mataji's class, Tini Mataji's class, and my speaking about Mahaprabhu, is look for hints. Hints from Mahaprabhu on your own path for advancement. Sometimes those hints will be like that. You must do this. You should do this. You have to do this. And sometimes it may be subtle. I wonder what that means. I wonder what this has to do. What something struck me about it. I'm not sure. Think about it. Take something away. Think about it. How I can move forward in my own spiritual life if that is what I want. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he takes sannyas, he travels first in the land of Radhadesh, where the, he goes, which direction is Radhadesh from Navadvip? I think it's westward, I think. And then he goes back to Shantipur, the house of Advaita Charja, and then he goes to Jagannath Puri. Raise your hand if you've been to Jagannath Puri. That's 30%. Raise your hand if you've been to Sridhar Mayapur. Oh, even more. John? No? When will you go? With a smile like that, it will be very soon, I'm sure. And then he went to Jagannath Puri and he stayed there for several months. He wanted to see Lord Jagannath. He stayed there for some months and then he went traveling in South India for 2 years. So we will just speak about his taking sannyas and his journey and what he's teaching through that, and then when he went to Jagannath Puri to speak to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the Rajki Pandit, he was the king's scholar, learned pundit. And then he's traveling. There'll be three classes in this way. And there'll be two Leela Kirtans in the evenings. And we've tried to fit these Leela Kirtans into the story. So it flows, but it doesn't quite, but it almost does. So I feel very fortunate to have studied this part of Mahaprabhu's life, because there's a taste. What could one say? There's a taste that comes from the activities, pastimes, words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that taste is his heart of giving. Magnanimity of giving Krishna. So I don't want to talk too much about what we will talk about, because then I won't have anything to talk about. So instead of talking further, my class begins at 10:30. We'll start with some kirtan. Please come on time. And then there's some meditations I would like to do, and some prayers that I would like to read, so please come on time. And we wish you all the best for a successful retreat here, and may your purposes be fulfilled. Your highest purposes, may they be fulfilled. Now, that's sort of the end, but not the end. Because I wanted to show some, I'd like to visit Vrindavan with you all. Because Vrindavan, raise your hand if you've ever been to Vrindavan. We've heard how many, more people have been to Vrindavan than anywhere else, except for John.
Why do you know?
He must go to Vrindavan and Mayapur, first Mayapur. One time, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, when he was a brahmachari, he used to distribute Bhakti Guided magazines. And he had this huge smile on his face all the time. And someone took a photograph of Jayadvaita Maharaj, now Jayadvaita Maharaj, handing out BTGs. And he had this huge smile on his face. And Prabhupada called it a million-dollar smile. And Prabhupada also had a billion-dollar smile. And what kind of a smile does Krishna have? Who knows what Krishna's smile is compared to? Madhu Smita, Madhu Smita, Madhu Ganda. It is like the fragrance of honey. Krishna's smile is soft, and it's like the fragrance of honey. It is very subtle, and it is very captivating. Would you like to be captivated by Krishna's smile? Yes? Would you like to play with Krishna? Yeah. What would you like to play with him? Go out herding with the cows with him? You know how much fun that was? Unlimited fun. To be with the all-attractive, sweetest, strongest, most cleverest person who's the most beautiful. And the boys would run to Krishna saying, Aham Purvan, Aham Purvan. I want to touch Krishna first. He attracted the hearts of everyone in Braja. So let us see something about Braja. These are a few little slideshows that I didn't create any of them. But this first one, I thought it was a really good one. Did we do it that way? Is that closer way? Because it was. Oh, okay. And the sound's okay? Okay. Anyway, this one I found very, very. There's a special reason why it has a special flavor. And we'll see what it is. And we should turn off the lights too. A good introduction. Wait till the lights are off. Govinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Because of your order, the groves where Lord Madhava performs his pastimes appear very splendid, decorated with blossoming flowers, bumblebees, and other auspicious animals, flowers, and birds. Gilhari. Oh, Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Srimati Radharani, the daughter of King Brishabhanu, has made you the ruling monarch of Lord Krishna's opulent and auspicious abode of Vrindavan. Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. The living entities who attain the service of your Lord reside in Vrindavan, and the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the rasa dance is only by your mercy. Namaste Charanaravinda. Oh, Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Those who have studied the Tathagata Tantra glorify you. You are Lord Krishna's potency for performing pastimes. And you are known as Tulsi Devi in the human society. You are bathed in your splendor, which defeats the effulgence of lightning and the golden champak flower. The luster of your transcendental garments defeats the beauty of the blue banduka flower. Oh, Vrindadevi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Oh, there's another part of that. Let's go to the Yamuna.
Thank you.
Now, there's two parts to the next video, which will be to complete our visit to Vrindavan for the night. And hopefully we'll all have good dreams about Sri Vrindavan Dham tonight. But the next part is the seven major temples of Vrindavan. We'll visit each of them. But the person who made this movie made a mistake about one of the temples. Which one is naming the seven major temples? He's made one mistake. So let's see who can figure out which temple isn't one of the ones directly in the Gaudiya Sampradaya and which one is missing. But mostly just enjoy the journey. Okay, part one. First temple to be built in Vrindavan, which at that time was just a forest, Madan Mohan.
Actually, what is the Krishna incomplete? people who want to do that, know that, then this is the process. The mind has to be engaged in Krishna. Mind. Therefore, Krishna manifests himself in his deity form. Deity is Krishna himself. But we cannot concentrate Krishna, which is not visible. Krishna is not visible to the ordinary eyes. Atas Sri Krishna Namami Brayam Indri. God is not perceptible without this material eyes or material senses. Atas Sri Krishna Namami, nothing material ears, we are chanting. If we are not spiritually advanced, this chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra also will not happen. It will be happening again. But by chanting, we gradually advance Chaitanya Pramadhanam, then we understand that this Hare Krishna Mantra is not different from Krishna. The mantra is sung by the same of the Krishna.
Thank you.
feet out to her. the light from. Hare Krishna. Now it's 9:10, and it's time for everyone to go to sleep and wake up bright and early and chant sincere japa, associate with Krishna through chanting his holy names. And what time does the program begin exactly tomorrow morning? Yes. 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 So be wide awake and with your ears open and hearts open too, and pray to your Lords to help you. Okay. Good night. So we'll see you tomorrow. Hare Krishna.